radio, and Sparta means WHCO.
Poor folks on the go, it's 1-2-3-0.
It's WHCO. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know you're welcome on WHCO. Randolph County Radio.
Rio Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
And good morning. It is 9:26. I'm Jeff. This is the People Speak. And today we are talking with Congressman Mike Boss. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Jeff. Doing very, very well.
And it doesn't do any good to complain anyway, right? Even if we're not.
It hasn't for me. You know, you just keep moving on and doing what we got to do. Yeah.
Exactly. Kind of briefly here, and then we'll take a break and come back. But a lot of stuff going on, I know, at the federal level.
Yep.
And
we actually got done. I flew in late yesterday. We passed this week the bill, and it was in bipartisan manner. I think that the Democrats felt like the Republicans wouldn't support this, but it's natural that we should, and that is when the Mueller report comes out that everything must be reported to the public that can legally and for the sake of national security, anything that needs to be secured that way, that's a different story. But you know, everything that the public can have, we want to make sure it's out there, and I think they were trying to make a political statement about it, but the reality is that the Mueller report has went on. I think it went on way too long. I think that the bad thing is I think that there should have been some other direction, because everything that's just showing up, maybe the Russian involvement was from the other side, if it was there at all. But I think we've spent plenty enough money on it, he comes up with and shows, and we need to show that, and that's what that resolution did yesterday.
All right, I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and get that break out of the way here, and we'll come back and talk more with Congressman Mike Boss here on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. 9:34, this is The People Speak again, and today we are talking with Congressman Mike Boss, and Congressman, I guess you were talking about the Mueller report and what's going on. Also, I guess another thing that's in the news is the emergency declaration, reference to the wall.
You bet. And you know, I know that 12 senators, and philosophically, you can do this. And I understand their argument, 12 Republican senators, but that was not enough and is not enough to sustain a presidential veto. But let me explain to you, if you look, you know, based on the philosophical belief that we need to take that power back, which was given to the president in 1972, to all of a sudden have an issue like this, and now all of a sudden they say, well, now we're not happy about that power. Well, then take the power away before an issue comes up. Because if you look, now, since 1972, the emergency declarations have been used 31 times, including this one. However, remember, there was another emergency declaration that was actually declared as well, and that emergency declaration was done just yesterday, or 2 days ago, Wednesday, and that is how the president shut down the Boeing flights, the planes that are possibly in danger. So that declaration has been used in a lot of ways. And, you know, the president will obviously override, or the president will veto and there will not be enough votes to override his veto. That being said, if someone and members want to come back later and take that power away from the president, that's a completely different debate. But the reality is that this is sprung up with a president that is that the Democrats have caused to be a very, very controversial president, who they've attacked since they came in. But this is, you know, if you would look at the other 31 that have been done, there are a lot of things that are, you go, wow, that was that an emergency? This is truly an emergency. And if you have been to the border and you understand what we're dealing with the danger of an uncontrolled southern border and the danger of the influx of illegal immigrants entering our nation, many of them tied with terrorist groups, many of them not having the opportunity to be vetted as far as what diseases they might be bringing in, and other concerns, and the mass movement across South America into that southern border. I agree with the president. Now, like I said, at a later date, if you want to come back, and we as members of Congress say, you know what, in 1972, maybe the Congress wasn't right in giving the power to the president on that, to this level, then let's look at that. But you don't wait until the middle of a process and then say, you know what, philosophically, I disagree with it, when many of them have already actually not fought against other emergency declarations that were not that big of emergencies, to tell you the truth.
Right. Excuse me. And understanding, you know, illegal immigrants in this country has been an issue for some time.
For some time. It's correct. It actually, and I think you and Jeff, you and I have talked about this. In 1984, Speaker of the House Tip O'Neill, because he went to the president and said, we've got to do something because we've had a tremendous amount of people who have, even though they didn't use the word DACA at the time, but that was the same situation, that have come across and they were not here legally, but they are here now. Their children were carried across. Now their children have actually been here in the United States their entire life since they were 1 or 2 or 3 years old, or maybe a little bit older. We've educated them. We've done all this. And they're in a situation facing a deportation because they really are not American citizens, but they don't have a country to go back to because they were never really in that country that they would have a country to go back to, and we'd be throwing them in the dark. So we need to have immigration reform. And the president agreed and said, okay, but we've got to be able to stop this in the future. And he said, you're right. He goes, here's what I'll do, President Reagan. I'll make sure that if you sign into law the immigration reform that we're needing to have, and you give them amnesty, and we'll give you the list of, you know, we'll put a date on it and say, okay, if anybody that comes in after this, they won't be granted amnesty. But you do that, and then we'll put in the budget money to secure the border. Ronald Reagan signed that bill, and Tip O'Neill never put the money in the border security. And here we are this many years later still dealing with the problem. It is and now it is truly a crisis. Because before you had and it's wonderful. Jeff, you and I have talked about this. It's wonderful to have a nation that people want to become part of. But if your first act of wanting to become part of this nation, if you want to truly believe in our Constitution, is disobey our laws, that's not probably the best way to come in. And especially when others are trying to come in legally and actually want to become citizens and become productive parts of society. And I believe there are people that are coming across that border that they really want to do that. But I also believe that for the safety of them and the safety of others, safety of people in this nation, but the safety of those people who are trying to get here, because remember, without secure borders, they are then subject to the coyotes and the other people who would take advantage of them, some that would use them. I mean, we have sex trafficking. We have human trafficking for other reasons, and there's no way to keep control on that unless we have a secure border. And so like I said, I'm in support of what the president has done. If someone feels philosophically that we need to change it, then let's change it. But you're not going to change it right now, because that is well within his powers. And been not only within his powers, but within every president's power since 1972. So, you know, that's what a lot of people don't understand. We see a lot of this stuff on the media, and they only want to tell you part of it.
Right. And one important thing I picked up out of your talking there is this is, you know, most people think of it as, well, we're just trying to stop people from Mexico from coming up to the United States. But as you said, you know, immigrants coming in without going through the proper channels and following on, you know, what they should be doing, I mean, they're putting themselves at risk, too. I mean, as you mentioned, all the different things going on, you know, I mean, you would think that they would want to make sure themselves that they're going to be safe coming into this country.
Right, right. You know, Jeff, whenever I was in the Marine Corps, I may have told you this before, but when I was in the Marine Corps in the early 80s, worked on a site that was, I was actually stationed in Yuma, Arizona. Way out into the desert off of Yuma, Arizona was a radar and a Hawk missile site that was fenced in, but it was 3 miles off. It was called P-111. P-111 was about 2 or 3 miles off the Mexican border, and it had about a 3 mile fence facing, or 2 mile fence facing the border. Okay, and then it was actually a 2 mile by 2 mile square, but the 2 mile fence facing the border. Every night, people would come across and thinking that they were at the border, but where they had already crossed it 2 miles before. They thought, okay, I got to climb over this fence. So they climb over the fence into a military compound, and we actually carried sawed-off shotguns. We carried 5 rounds in our pockets because they said, don't load them because here's what's going to happen. And every night, somebody climb over, and you would actually, without putting a shell in, you'd just make the noise of jacking a shell in and tell them to lay down, and they understood that, and they would lay down. And you would then detain them until the Border Patrol came in to the compound, picked them up, and took them back over that night. That happened every night. The real issue that existed at that time, though, was, you know, there's a lot of evil people in the world. And at that time, as well as today, there were motorcycle groups from Southern California and Southern Arizona and Southern New Mexico, that they actually earned a badge of honor by killing a human being. Well, on a regular basis, you'd find people out in that desert killed, and that's who was killing them, so they could earn this badge of whatever, as disgusting as that is. But because they had no identification, they were trying to sneak into the country, they were... It was a very, very dangerous situation, and it's still dangerous today. There are people who are evil that are out there, and this is a killing field for them. So for the sake of the people coming across, as well as the sake of our nation, let's control our borders. Let's not, and I'm not saying to people, we don't want any immigrants. No, I'm saying to people, if you want to come here and come here legally, God bless you. This is a great country to come to. It gives you golden opportunities for life, for you to better yourself, for and do it legally, and then you have a pathway to citizenship. What a wonderful thing! But if you're coming here to disobey our laws, cause trouble, to actually commit crime against our citizens, that's not what we want to leave our doors open to. And that's why we have to have controlled entryways where we can actually allow for this influx of immigrants.
Exactly. And anytime you have any kind of an entrance to most anything, you have specific areas where you can come in and specific things you have to follow. I mean, why would it be?
Exactly. And the same thing is if we're leaving and going into their country. You know, that's the way these check stations work. We're going there, or they're coming back, or we're coming back. You know, if you're a U.S. citizen, you travel over to Mexico, there needs to be, you know, you're checking of your passport, all of those things. This is exactly what it does in any other country in the nation. Why in the world is this such a big argument? big, and I'll tell you why it's such a big argument, because the president is hated so much by Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and they don't want to give him anything, even though they voted for it before. They don't want to give him anything. And it's a shame, because with all the things we've done, and Jeff, I want to bring a few of those up. All the things that are going on right now in our economy and what's happening. Our economy grew 3.1% in 2018. That's the fastest economic growth since 2005. And February was the 101st consecutive month of job growth. Now, when that's the longest growth record ever since we've been keeping record. Now, understand also that growth is in job growth. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter your gender. It is a job growth across the board for everyone. And, you know, and this is important to our farmers, because as we're working on China, I think that you just told a report that, you know, we're coming close to getting that done with China. But even in the case of this situation, in the first 3 months, quarters after the tax cuts of last year, over $600 billion poured back into the United States of people and businesses that had taken their business out of the United States before because of the overburdensome regulation, overburdensome tax. So these are coming back.
You know,
and
one thing.
Tax reform. Go ahead.
Oh, one thing I've heard that I hadn't heard in a while, especially over the last 5-10 years even, is employers saying they're having a hard time finding enough employees.
They really are. They really are. And that's why we're working with the employers also to encourage our education system to shift to a level that, okay, maybe you're not going to be a doctor or a lawyer. Don't go out and invest in that much in your higher education that way. Invest in a skill that is maybe you want to be involved with, welding, electrician, all of these, so that the trades actually, because that's it. The employers are having trouble finding people in the trade skills and other areas. And, of course, now unique, and you know my family is in the trucking business, and this truck driver shortage is a tremendous problem, but there's two reasons for that. One is, under the new rules of hours of service, quite often truck drivers can't sell enough hours under existing law to actually be able to sell enough hours to make it as good a living as they could at something else. And then the other reason is trying to find truck drivers, and we're not changing this, but the reality is they can't pass a drug test. And that's a problem, another issue we got to deal with. So, you know, there's a lot of issues out there we're dealing with or working on, you know, and understand my three committees that I'm on, and that's transportation infrastructure, where we're trying to work on the infrastructure bill, the Ag Committee, and also then Veterans Affairs. There's very little partisanship that goes on in those committees, and I'm glad of that. But the partisanship from the other areas has gotten so bad that they're focusing on all of those things rather than what we need to get done. And what we need to get done is an infrastructure bill. What we need to get done is how do we position our youth to stay in agriculture? How do we make sure that young couples, young families that want to go into a farm and stuff like that have the ability to have the credit to make the investment long-term for their life? And how do we bring, you know, the prices and sell our goods from agriculture at a level that allows for the families to stay in business and to encourage the next generation to be in it? You know, I met with a person from a dairy farm from the district yesterday in my office, and she wants tremendously to be involved in the family business, but the dairy farm is losing money every year, and you know that's why we've got to work with the president, making sure that the USMCA trade agreement comes to fruition, because that basically stops Canada from blocking our ability to sell dairy products up into Canada and actually be involved with the market there as well. So these are all things we're working on trying to get done. And you know, I mean, the whole time, unfortunately, you've got people like the Speaker and AOC who are driving agendas that are not, the agendas they have are sometimes really scary and sometimes just plain bizarre. If you want to talk about one thing, you know, Jeff, the Green Deal, you know, that's fine to think all those thoughts, but let's look at what really is going on with it. So this Green New Deal that they're talking about, you know, it first off, it would devastate Southern Illinois economy because it would attack our coal mines, it would attack ag industry. Because, you know, I mean, you think dairy farms have trouble now. Once you ban cattle, that's pretty hard to have a dairy farm. But then you calculate the cost, and this is what is so amazing. The cost of implementing the Green New Deal is $93 trillion. Now, I want you to think about this. That means every household in the entire United States would have to be taxed at a level of to generate $650,000. It doesn't matter what your income is. It doesn't matter where your household is. $650,000 per family is what it would cost to implement the Green New Deal. And that's what people don't really understand. But it eliminates fossil fuel. It eliminates air travel. And then it says, okay, well, we'll have electric trains, high-speed electric trains. And we'll do this in 12 years. That just doesn't work. You know, and then, of course, the most amazing thing in it in the layout is, it says, and they'll subsidize those people. Everybody will make a certain level of money, and they'll subsidize people even if they're not willing to work. Listen to what I just said. They're going to subsidize people that are healthy, capable of working, but they just don't feel like it. Well, that would be a problem. And just listening to this, but what they've done is they've taken key points and they run out there and say how good they are, and people who don't understand what it takes to implement them go, yeah, I like that. And people are getting elected based on, well, matter of fact, Cortez herself was explained a couple weeks ago. They said, you do understand that these are the facts on this issue. And you do understand that it's truth. Okay? It isn't a case where, oh, maybe you know, this is fact and this is truth, so we've got to work off this. Here's what she said, and she said it on a public forum. I don't make my votes on facts and truth. I make my votes on how I feel. That's a scary thought.
It is. I'll tell you what.
Because...
we need to squeeze a break in here real quick.
Okay, all right.
All right. Let's get this in real quick, and we'll come right back and talk some more with Congressman Mike Foster on the People Speak. And welcome back. Got a few minutes left in the program today. This is the People Speak. We're talking with Congressman Mike Bost and talking about jobs. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, jobs, and I know we're down to the last few minutes, and I know the next issue I want to talk about, just if I can, before we leave here, and I know we're really short on time, but I had this week, there's a bill that's called the Born Alive Bill, and I want people to understand how vitally important this is. And I've kind of put it out on social media, and only the hackers that come in and badmouth it don't agree with me. They just don't agree with me on anything, and that's okay. I've learned to deal with that. But folks, whether you're pro-choice or pro-life, and everyone who knows me knows I'm pro-life. But if you're pro-life or pro-choice, what this bill does, it says that if a baby is born either naturally or during a botched abortion, and that baby is still alive, that baby must receive medical treatment to stay alive. And I don't know why this is controversial. You know, that is when we went to extreme where we've lost our moral compass, because one of the most you know, one of the important jobs that I have is to speak for those people who can't stand up for themselves, whether it's somebody who is physically or mentally disabled, but it's also a case where it's a child just out of the womb. Folks, we have too many states now saying that it's okay to commit infanticide, and that is wrong. And what is happening whenever we are telling our children that's okay? Folks, I'm begging you, talk to your state officials, understand where I'm at. If you know other national people, when we lose our morals to this level, we will be a doomed nation. That's what we're fighting for right now.
All right. Well, sounds like we're out of time, but Congressman, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to next month.
All right. We'll talk to you then. For The People Speak, I am Jeff, and that'll wrap things up for today. Have a great day.